talking today with Steve Fogelsong, president, of course, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Steve, let's talk first of all about this event that you and several of the ag groups kind of came together on earlier today, talking about trade and the fact that we've got leftover from the Bush administration three pretty important free trade deals that could help us a lot.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to go to the National Press Club today and talk about the fact that we've got three trade deals that are on the table. And need to be moved forward. You know, that's a pivotal deal for those of us in the cattle business. You know, getting some foreign trade cranked up would certainly be good. In particular, Korea is the top of my mind because, you know, they would be the model that we could use in other negotiations around the world. And getting that market back open and the trade flowing would be a big plus and put a lot of money in producers' pockets.
You know, as we think about, you know, the fact that we're seeing, you know, a lot of, I guess, talk right now from the administration about wanting to move forward with expanding exports, but doesn't seem like there's a lot of gusto or a lot of enthusiasm about this.
You're the one that brought up talk. You know, we can talk about it a lot, but that's not going to solve the problem. You know, good intentions don't accomplish much. I've heard it from the president in the State of the Union address. I heard Trade Representative Ron Kirk talk about it, you know, and the reality of it is both of those guys have talked about how, you know, if we get some exports open, that would be a great stimulus to jobs in our country and help with our unemployment situation. Talk's one thing, action's another. They're going to have to convince some of the folks up on the Hill to move as judiciously on this as they did with health care. Let's get it done. I mean, the time to quit, you know, plodding along in the mud has come to a screeching halt. It's time to act on it and get that thing done. It's sitting there. All they got to do is vote.
Another thing that NCBA has really been kind of, I guess, fairly visible on here in recent days has been signing on with the American Meat Institute, poultry folks as well, in making a call on Congress not to move forward with renewal of some of these ethanol tax credits that expire later this year. Why?
You know, if you look at the economic analysis that was done in regard to ethanol and the beef production business, I mean, I'm from a corn state. I'm from Illinois. All my neighbors, you know, are pro-ethanol guys, but if you're a cattle producer, you've got to say enough is enough. You know, we saw the price of corn spike up there to $7, you know, and it broke a lot of feed yards. And the reality of the situation is, you know, let's put ethanol and the beef industry or all of livestock feeding, let's put all those on a level playing field. You know, if we take the subsidy away from ethanol, then we all have the opportunity to compete for corn at the same level. And I think that's the way it's time to wean that baby. You know, they've had 30 years, you know, to be a fledgling industry. I think 30 years is enough. If we get it on a level playing field, then we'll compete with corn with everybody else and we'll be very happy about it.
Can you stop it?
Probably.
Reauthorization?
We're going to make some noise about it. I don't know that we can get it stopped. You know, I think we need to, the biggest issue is to take a look at should they continue those subsidies. I mean, it's costing the American taxpayer a lot of money to do that sort of stuff. And an industry that's been around as long as they have been, it's time to finish that project, you know, and say, okay, you're up and running. Let's see how you can do in a free market enterprise. That's what this country is founded about, and that's where we need to wind up.
Interesting that during the month of May, USDA continues to move forward with these animal, I think they're calling it traceability standards, or the new animal ID, I guess you could call it. They've got three meetings a month of May trying to get opinions from out in the country about this thing. Is this new remake of our approach to animal ID, is it going to be more successful than the Bush administration's efforts?
You know, they went around and they held a host of meetings a year ago in regard to it. And I think they learned a lot of stuff. And I think they've come back. I met with the secretary this morning and had the opportunity to chat with him about it. You know, and he's looking at a different way to package it, a different way to deliver it, particularly like through the states and let the states run their own deal. And I think maybe that's a little more palatable. Every state, there are states that already have, you know, a mandatory ID thing out there working. Michigan's a good example because they've had some issues with TB. That's how they dealt with it. You know, and if you're going to do something like that, I think, you know, that's how producers feel a lot more comfortable working with their state departments of ag than they do with maybe some big federal bureaucracy. You know, they know people in the state, they know how to, you know, how to work with them, and they've got a working relationship. And I think if we continue to move in that general direction, we'll probably be a little more successful in making it palatable and a whole lot easier for producers. If we're going to be forced to go down that path, for producers to be able to say, okay, I can make this work. And I think that's where the secretary's head, and I think that's probably a good move on his part.
One of the areas I wanted to talk to you about was that obviously we talked last time we talked was about the governance issue, and since that time you've had a chance to get some of these committees starting to flesh out some things. I know a lot of the things that will be forthcoming will come out in Denver in July. How do you feel now that you're starting to see these committees actually meet?
You know, it's been an interesting process to go through. We appointed some committees to sit down and work on three areas, you know, on our investment program, on the bylaws, and then on a transition team. I think the transition team is virtually done. Bylaws had a meeting last week. They're going to meet again today, and we're expecting a set of draft bylaws to be out of there in the next week. And we're going to roll that out, and I'm going to get a chance to look at it first, and then I'm going to share that with our executive committee. We're going to sit down with the beef board there the week, I think, the 18th of May, and we're going to sit down and go through that with their executive committee, and we're going to get it out to the country so that people have the opportunity to have a look at it. Here's what it is. That was a great group. I've talked to lots of people that, you know, got the opportunity to sit in there. You know, that's a tough job. I mean, that's not a job I want to do. I don't want nothing to do with the bylaws deal. But the people we put on there really took it to heart and did a great job, and that's the pivotal part of it, is getting that part straight. And we're going to get those out and let people comment on them. And if there's some heartburn, they're going to have the opportunity to seek changes. And it's a fluid document. It's in draft form, and everybody needs to remember it's a draft. And if there's changes to be made, let's get those done as an industry and then move forward. And we get into July, then we'll have something that we can really work with.
Back in San Antonio, the talk was in some of those meetings, some of those conversations that people were having was they didn't like some of the things that were going on. They said it didn't pass the smell test. Think you'll be able to get to that point of passing that?
It depends who you talk to. You know, the folks that were voting there that day, the folks that represent all the beef councils and the associations around the country, passed it by 94%. My guess is those folks thought it passed the smell test. The folks on the outside looking in maybe didn't understand it quite as clearly as they needed to, and I think we're going to have the opportunity to sit down with some of those groups here in the next couple of weeks and walk through just exactly what it is and get those bylaws and those changes that are made out there and let everybody have a chance to get comfortable and really understand it. And I think when we get all done, they will understand it, and it will pass the smell test. Everybody's going to be happy. Our checkoff is different than every other checkoff out there. The fact that the states control half of the money is different than any other national checkoff, and that's the major difference. Even at USDA, I don't think they've fully got their head wrapped around exactly how this one works, because it is so unique, but that's also what makes it better, because producers at a state level have the opportunity to say what half of that money is going to go to, and they do it very adequately, and they do it every day, and I think that's one of the things we're not willing to give up.